name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus in the Gospel lesson, quoting the Psalm concerning himself, says, "Have you not read in the Scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we consider this wonderful and mysterious reality that the Jesus who was rejected by the builders has become the marvelous cornerstone of the church and of our lives. And Jesus will explain the cornerstone and the parable of the son of the owner of the vineyard and what it means that though the Lord rejected Christ, in his rejection and his death and in his resurrection, he has become a marvelous cornerstone for us. As we look at the parable of Jesus, who is the son of the owner of the vineyard, as all the prophets sent through the generations and the Old Testament people stoned them and killed them, but then Jesus, the son, comes into the vineyard. As Jesus explains what it means that he's the cornerstone of the church, and on this national LWML Sunday, as we consider what does it mean to be with Jesus and live on the edge, walking by faith, like St. Paul did, who pressed on for the upward call of God, we will see what it means that Christ, though rejected by the world, is the cornerstone of our life. The picture that Jesus gives of his rejection is builders, masons, picking out stones for a building, and they come on a stone that they don't care for some reason. It doesn't look good to them. So they throw it in a heap. They throw it to the side and reject it and continue to build. But then God comes into the world, and he picks up that very rejected stone, which is Jesus, and he makes it the cornerstone of the whole building. So that which was rejected now is brought by God to be the cornerstone of the church of all the ages, for all these generations, as we're about to sing in the closing hymn, Christ is our cornerstone. When I grew up in Ohio, our family used to go to Kelly's Island on vacation. We would go to Sandusky, Ohio and Marblehead Landing and get on a ferry boat and go out to Kelly's Island in the middle of Lake Erie. This island was great for growing grapes. There were vineyards everywhere and wineries on this little island. As children, we would poke around this island and look through the ruins of these old wineries, and some of the places were still growing grapes. And we found at the bottom of a hill a heap of broken pottery, pieces of pottery, which had been pots and crocks that had held wine, and for some reason they didn't use them anymore, and they just threw them down the hill and they just shattered. Being as we were kids, we gathered up these shards in a box and brought them home and got super glue and started gluing them together until we had a whole crock complete from all the pieces, and it was beautiful. Didn't seem like there was anything wrong with it. They had discarded it, we had rescued it, brought it out, glued it together, and there it sat in our living room. I think of that picture every time I think of Jesus being thrown out like a rock in a rock pile, and then God brings that back and makes it the cornerstone of the whole church. And this is marvelous because he surprises everyone who never expected this. Here's the context. It's Holy Week. Jesus has entered into Jerusalem to the Hosannas, Lord save us. He has cleansed the temple. He's teaching in the temple courts, and he is speaking this parable in the ears of everyone around, and there's the Pharisees and the scribes listening in to this parable of the son of the owner of the vineyard. Thing you need to know from the Old Testament lesson this morning is that in Isaiah and throughout the history of Israel, they were the vineyard. God is the one who planted it. The nation of Israel was chosen out of all nations of the world to be God's vineyard. Then he placed them with a wall around it, a tower to protect it, and he expects to see the fruit of repentance and faith. Now the church is the new vineyard, the new Israel, which includes Jews and Gentiles who believe in Christ, the cornerstone. The Lord of hosts, in righteousness, sent his Son into this vineyard, and now we will learn what it means that we who are in the vineyard have Christ as the cornerstone of our life. We consider the parable. Jesus is the son of the owner of the vineyard. Jesus tells this parable, and the master of the house, of course, is God the Father. He's the one that plants the vineyard. God the Father sent to the people of Israel prophets throughout its whole history. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel were his planting. He provided them a fence, a wine press, a tower. He leased it out to them as tenants. He goes away for a journey, but he expects to come back to Israel to see fruit, repentance, and faith. In order to do that, he periodically would send his servants to the vineyard. And these are the various prophets and those who came to God's people, whether it be Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Amos, Joel, Obadiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Malachi, and then finally John the Baptist. But these tenants, these Jewish tenants who were supposed to be those who brought forth fruit, did terrible things to these prophets and servants. One of them they grabbed and beat. The other one they killed. The other one they stoned. So then the owner, the father, says, I will send my son to the vineyard. Perhaps they will respect my son. But then the tenants do something which is the worst of all. When they see the son coming, they say, aha, here's the heir. We'll kill him and then we'll have the inheritance. And they did something wicked. They took Jesus, the son of the master, out. They threw him out of the vineyard. They took and crucified Jesus outside the city gate, out by the garbage dump. And they killed him. Jesus says, what will the owner of the vineyard, the Father, do when he comes again? And the people condemn themselves when they say, well, he'll give the vineyard to other tenants, and he'll put those miserable tenants to a wretched end. Jesus, indeed, is predicting what is about to happen to him. The vineyard into which he will come as the vine and pour out the blood of his life for us will indeed give the vineyard to other tenants, that is, Jews and Gentiles, who believe in the Master's Son who has come to the vineyard. Here Jesus is getting very close to his own crucifixion. He is predicting that he will be betrayed, mocked, suffered, thrown outside the vineyard, crucified, and then, of course, on the third day, be raised. Jesus, the son of the owner of the vineyard, came to the vineyard of this world and gave his very lifeblood upon the cross to redeem us. Jesus, after telling this parable, then explains how he is the new cornerstone for the new Israel, the new church, and the new vineyard. He quotes from Psalm 118, a psalm of David. Have you not read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. It was the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus is that stone rejected by the builders. These people refused to accept that Jesus was the Messiah. And that which was to be the cornerstone, they simply threw out. But the marvelous reality is that cornerstone is the cornerstone of the whole new world of the church. This is marvelous in our eyes. The kingdom of God will now be given to tenants who will bear fruit. I remember in college, Paul Stuckey came to our college and sang. He was from Peter, Paul, and Mary, became a Christian later on in life, and he put a concert on at the college in Concordia River Forest. And he had a song that he wrote based on this, and he talked about how the building block that was rejected has become the cornerstone of a whole new world. And I still remember that melody today. The building block, that was rejected has become the cornerstone of a whole new world. That's the cornerstone, which is Christ. The cornerstone of the church and the rock of our salvation. Jesus says something about him being the rock. Now it's true, Christ will die in our place. And God's wrath was poured out upon him rather than be poured out upon us. By Jesus' stripes we are healed. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul said we have a righteousness not our own, but the righteousness of Christ. For when God the Father heard Jesus say, "It is finished," the atonement for our sins was complete. By his stripes we are healed. You believe that, and that's the rock of your life and the cornerstone of the church. But what happens when people reject this and do not believe? On one hand, Jesus is like a stumbling rock, a stone. People are walking through their life, they don't believe in Jesus, and they stumble over him, and they end up being broken in pieces. But at the end of time, on the last day, that rock will fall on them and crush them in judgment. Jesus says. Now it says in the text that the chief priests and the Pharisees, they figured this out. They realized, he's talking about us. This parable is about us. And they really wanted to arrest Jesus, but they couldn't. They feared the crowds who held him to be a prophet. It's always been that way. For people who do not believe in Christ, it's bad news that Jesus wants to come into their lives and claim them for his own. They want to live their life. Thank you, Jesus, stay out of my life. I'm doing fine without you. But they will eventually stumble over that rock and break into pieces, and the rock of judgment will crush them on the last day. But for you who believe, Jesus, who was stricken, smitten, afflicted, and crucified, has become for us our righteousness. And by faith in him, we have in Christ Jesus the rock of ages, the cornerstone of the church. He gives his body and blood to you under the bread and wine in Holy Communion. He washes you with water and word in holy baptism, and you heard his words of absolution today. Your sins are forgiven, which means they're removed as far as the east from the west. This stone rejected is marvelous to us. It's while we're here every Sunday to receive forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. What a marvelous thing that God takes that which was rejected and makes it the cornerstone. And then the third thing we consider is that, like St. Paul, we who have been with Jesus, who live life on the edge through repentance and faith to bring the gospel to all the world, join the women of Lutheran Women's Missionary League on this International Sunday today, considering that gospel work of bringing Christ to all the nations. St. Paul knew all about this in the epistle lesson. If ever there was a zealous Jew, it was he. Circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew, a Pharisee, in zeal he persecuted the church, but when Christ knocked him from the horse, converted him, and made him to the evangelist Paul, he counted everything as rubbish compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, Lord. He says, I want to gain Christ and be found not in my righteousness, but in his righteousness. And I will press on towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ. Forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead. And that's true for your life and my life. The past is gone. Let the rubbish go away. Press on toward the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Today is a new day. Repent. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And join that upward call of God in Christ Jesus. On this National Lutheran Women's Missionary League, we remember that how wonderful it is, those little mite boxes that we have. Ours is on the dresser and we can put our coins in it every day when we come home from work. And you know those coins will add up to millions of dollars. The work of Lutheran Women's Missionary League from 2011 to 2013, they want to raise $1.8 million from those little boxes with pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. It's amazing how the widow's mite adds up. LWML wants to use those funds for a Lutheran orphanage in Haiti, the Lutheran Braille Workers, helping children at risk in Detroit, also the Crow Indian Ministry in Montana, children's nutrition in Vietnam, a pregnancy center in Malaysia in Southeast Asia, the Lutheran Malaria Initiative in Kenya and East Africa, the outreach to youth in Central and South America, and helping those with developmental disabilities in Dominican Republic, the Haskell Indian Nations in Lawrence, Kansas, jail ministries, and physical and spiritual nourishment in Mexico along the border. You can participate in this gospel work by putting your money into the mite boxes, bringing them the first Sunday of the month and pouring them into the box in the narthex. And God uses those small gifts and does extraordinary things through the work of Lutheran Women's Missionary League, which we will remember in their litany in a moment. In conclusion, the kingdom of God has come in Christ, crucified and risen. We are a people who marvel at how God has acted. Our eyes and our ears sing of this marvelous gift in the hymns. We know that Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, and that connected into him, we bear much fruit. The ordinary things become extraordinary in the kingdom of God. And just as we as children picked up all these pottery shards and glued them together into a crock and a pot that we thought was beautiful, God has taken Jesus, the stone rejected by the world, and he has taken it and made it the cornerstone of a whole new world of the church, believers in Christ, and the rock of our salvation. May we, with the women of Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and in the daily vocation and calling of our lives, may we live for Jesus, rejected by the world, but marvelous in our eyes, our cornerstone. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.